As you know, through the period of time as we've been worshiping, today is indeed Pentecost. It's the day in which God sent the Holy Spirit to the church. The Holy Spirit sealed the church on Pentecost and unified the voice of the church into the oneness that Jesus prayed for and that we talked about last week in John chapter 17. Jesus wanted the church to be unified, wanted the church to be one, wanted the church to reflect the nature of God, which is a nature of unity, three persons and one God. In many ways, the Holy Spirit is a neglected person of the Trinity. We think of the Father and the Son, and oftentimes we neglect or forget to include the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gets its special day on Pentecost. The Holy Spirit gets the emphasis. But in reality, the church is the glory of the Holy Spirit. The church as one is the Holy Spirit at work. The church that is strong is the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is here for us. And yet, oftentimes, we do not embrace the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is intended to direct us, and yet we want to go our own way. We want to do our own thing. Oftentimes, churches seek to plan for their future. And when we plan for the future without the power of the Holy Spirit, we conspire against God, not with God. Oftentimes we seek to build our own communities, our own edifices. And the more we try without the power of the Holy Spirit, the more our churches become towers of Babel and not places of witness and strength in the Lord. I love to preach about unity. I love to speak about the oneness of the church and the unity of the church in the power of the Holy Spirit. I do so because unity is a sign that the Holy Spirit resides in a church, that the Holy Spirit leads a church. But as I shared with you last week, unity is a sign of God's movement. And it's not the goal of the church. Oftentimes, we make unity the goal of the church instead of recognize it as a sign of the movement of God. How we do this is we seek to create community in an artificial fashion. Community is important, but it is more important that we have godly community than simply unity behind people or ideas. Politicians seek unity. Tyrants demand unity. The tyrannical impulse of the human people is shown over and over in totalitarian governments, all of which proclaim unity in opinion, unity in action. Without freedom, without godliness, and without love. So we must be careful, because unity is a product of God's movement. But when unity is the goal, oftentimes, unity can be used for evil, and it can be used against God. We're currently in the midst of a dispute between two worldviews that is playing out on the world stage. We see it is in the rise of nationalism, as often has been projected on television. But the opposite of nationalism is internationalism. And I want to make sure that I make something clear to you all. The difference between nationalism and internationalism is not the difference between good and evil. It's not an understanding that one proclaims unity while the other does not. Our debates about political governance are not debates about unity, but distinct calls to separate sovereignties. If you look at what's happening in England, you'll see that over the last 3 years, they've been embroiled in what they call Brexit. Okay? That's kind of the media's shorthand for what's happening. But what basically is happening is England has found themselves in a relationship, in a union, a unity with the European Union. And the English people are debating and voting over and over again over the understanding of whether they want their control to come from London or Brussels. The issue is not whether they want to be united. The issue is who they want to lead. And so the issue is over the future of their nation and their people. Unity is a good thing if we have the same purpose and the same goals. But what the people of England are debating is whether those in Brussels have England as their purpose or their goal. And people want to control what the purpose is. If the world unites around these leaders or leaderships, I want you to hear this. Who they unite behind is not inherently a good. One can be England for the English and be evil. And one can have an opinion that the world should rule as one and still be evil. The issue isn't whether we're united. The issue is who are you united behind? What is your purpose? What is your goal? Unity is good when it's a team seeking to win a championship. But unity is bad when you're being chased by a mob. It's the same unity. The difference is one is being used towards a goal that we might think as a good one, and the other is used to attack a person, to chase you down the street, to harm someone. That's what happened at Babel. The first story that we heard today was the story from the Old Testament about the Tower of Babel and the building of that tower. The people of the world united. And everything is supposed to be good when the people of the world unite, correct? Except it wasn't. They were uniting against God. They were building as an affront to God. They were saying, "We will build." They were spitting in the eye of God and seeking to build a high tower in order that they might make an offense and an assault against heaven itself. Community became a dangerous proposition to God. And so God did what God could do to scatter the people. Community, which was intended to bless God and neighbor, was used to attack God. And so God did what the scripture tells us, and God created languages and confused the people of Babel. And those people then went out, and what did they do? They created civilizations. They created nations. They created what we know as peoples. When you hear the peoples of the earth will be blessed, that's not saying people, plural. People's already plural. The peoples of the earth are the nations, the communities, the tribes. We might have nations in the world today but the nations are populated by peoples. And we see this difficulty when places like Iraq are completed or filled with different peoples, right? Because the people of Iraq are supposed to be one nation and one citizenry. But what we know is that the Kurds are a different people. And those distinctions and differences exist even in the presence of a nation. The Tower of Babel created the loss of community. And it was done to protect the world. God confused them with language. And to this day, language is a barrier between peoples, isn't it? But we're doing our best to try to cure that. Often, we'll take language lessons. We'll learn different languages so that we can understand people. You really want to understand a different people, a different tribe, a different community? Learn their language. Now, those of us who are English speakers, and I'm assuming that you are, you'll know that in speaking English, there are different ways of speaking English throughout the nation and the world. If you've ever heard an Irish person or a Scottish person with a deep brogue, we'll call it sometimes, you'll note that sometimes watching an interview on television, they'll put subtitles there. You'll find the same thing if they're talking to someone from the Delta region of the South. Oftentimes they have to put subtitles so that you can understand their dialect, the slang that's used. Why? Because different people carry with them different inflections and slang and ways of talking, even within the same language itself. All of which confuse us when we're speaking. A slang term in the north might not mean what it means in the south. And when you go and you travel, you quickly find that people from different places, even who speak the same language, might not easily or quickly understand each other. In order to learn the new language, in order to study a language, we have to become loving enough to care what someone else thinks. Most of us had to take a foreign language in school, and most of us thought that it was a waste of our time. It was kind of a natural product of, when am I ever going to use blank, whatever language it is that we learned. But then as we grow and we learn and as we mature, we realize that that learning of a different language gives us access to different people. It gives us connection with people that we might never have understood. My oldest son was a soldier with the Marine Corps and was sent to the Middle East. He learned Arabic. They discovered that he was good at it, that he was naturally picking it up. So they sent him to school, and he got an associate's degree in Arabic so that he can translate Arabic. He learned it because he enjoyed community. When they sent him overseas, he loved the idea that he can speak in their language, that he could understand the peoples of the world. It opened up new doors and new opportunities. Our grandchildren are learning Spanish. Their mother is a Mexican, originally from her bloodline. And because of that, she wants to make sure that those kids know a little bit of Spanish. Why? Because it opens up their world. New languages give new possibilities and new purposes. But I can promise you this. Knowing a language doesn't make you a good person. Hitler spoke fluent German. It doesn't mean German's a good language or a bad language. But Hitler happened to be a bad person. Other people speak fluent languages. They might speak multiple languages. And many of us think that makes them good people, doesn't it? Not always. The difference between what we do and what our purpose is still important. When Pentecost came, God was about reversing Babel. God was about changing humanity. But it was not simply to let people talk to each other. There was a miracle that took place on Pentecost. All the peoples of the world heard the gospel in their language. But I want to make sure you understand this. That miracle was not going to take place when Peter ordered a sandwich later in the day. The miracle was not a miracle because of language. And see, this is where we get mixed up. We see the attributes of God and we think those are the good things. Instead of understanding that it's the purpose of God that makes things good. When Peter spoke, the people heard because God's word was intended to be heard. God's word was the new unifying factor post-Pentecost. God has given you the Holy Spirit not so that you can show off, not so that you can speak in tongues and impress your friends, not so that you can have special powers and be a superhero. God has given you the Holy Spirit so that you can communicate the love and grace of God in Jesus Christ to the world. God has sent the Holy Spirit so that the world might know. God has sent the Holy Spirit so that the peoples of this world would become acclimated with the love of God and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. God has sent the Holy Spirit, even the power of God, for a purpose, not for a convenience. Whenever someone reads this Acts 2 passage, it's always something that I always feel guilty about having someone have to read. Because all the peoples of the world are listed, right? And people have to all of a sudden learn how to say Parthians. Okay, they got to learn how to say these terrible words. And I can't tell you how many people have come to me in the lead up to the reading of the scripture and said, Pastor Dan, can we just skip these passages? Can we just gloss over them? Can we just say, and the people heard? You know, is there a way that we... No. The reason that that list is present is so that you'll know that they were there, that the peoples were present, and that they matter, that they count. Some churches hang flags and banners of nations around their church. And they hang those flags and banners not because they're patriotic about those countries. They hang those flags and banners because those are the places that the gospel has reached. Those are the places that God is claiming for the gospel. The peoples of the world are being reached out to by God. That's why Jesus came, and that's why the Holy Spirit was sent. So that the world might know. Do you hear that? The world might know. You know, oftentimes we think that the world is simply the Republicans, the Democrats, and the Independents in the United States. That's it. If we could find harmony and unity in the United States, then the world would be a better place. Because whenever we say the world, what we really mean is our world, our community, our people. But God has a bigger plan and a bigger vision. God's vision is that the world, the peoples, those that we don't even know the name of the tribe, those that we could not help with practice and assistance, we couldn't pronounce their tribal name, their people. We would take years just to say hello in their language because we'd have to learn the clicks and the pops of a particular tribal tongue. Those people matter to God. And you know what? The church has understood this for generations. People like to ask the question, why was the King James Bible such a big deal? Why was the English Bible such a big deal? And why do we have translators who are translating the Bible into weird languages that we've never heard of? I'll tell you why. So the world might know. Back in the days when English speakers had to read Latin, it meant that you had to learn a second language just to read the Bible. And now you could read the Bible in English, if you want to. You don't have to learn a different language. It's made clear in your tongue. And to be blunt, you can get it in any type of slang that you want. How many translations are out there? It boggles the mind and confuses us, right? Why? Because everyone wants to say it their way so that it's comfortable for you to hear. The Holy Spirit is still about the work of making the word known for the people. And the church in the United States and the church, you know, the English-speaking church has more options and varieties of opportunity to hear the word of God than ever before. You don't even have to be a reader. They have book on tape, on CD. It streams. All you got to do if you got a cell phone is go and listen. You could listen in your car. You could listen on the train. The Bible's available. But how many people have read it this week? The Spirit is available, but how many people have prayed it? The opportunity for us to be part of the community of faith in Jesus Christ is right here, right now. But we're creating other communities. We're creating other opportunities, things that are outside of the purpose of God. There's an old doxology that's given. It's a Trinitarian doxology used in Orthodox churches. It says, through him, with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, forever and ever. The Trinitarian doxology is an understanding that it's in the power of the Holy Spirit that we are unified, that we are one. That power of the Holy Spirit has a particular purpose, not just to make us one, but to make us one in Christ, to make us one with the Father. And as we said last week, it's one with the Father, unified under the cross of Jesus Christ, so that the world might know. What we celebrate at Pentecost today and what we do as a church is always purposed by the communicative power of the gospel. There's a lot of things that I've wanted to tell you over the last several months. A lot of things happening in my life. And believe me, there's been times that some of those things happening in my life have been easily capable of eclipsing the things that I'm supposed to do. Have you ever, I've had a grandbaby, a granddaughter. That becomes the center of your world. I can't wait to share about my granddaughter, show you a picture. But that's not what we're here for. I could preach for hours, but it wouldn't be preaching if I just told you about what was happening in my life, right? It might be entertaining. It might be educational. I might hold you in rapt attention. And you'd say, good speech, Pastor. And that's what it would be, a speech. But we're not here to give speeches. We're not here to tell stories. We're not here to entertain people. We're here to share Jesus Christ with the world around us, to bring salvation, to share love, to communicate grace, to call all people under one banner, which is the cross of Jesus Christ. We are here to communicate a unity and a oneness in God in Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that, my friends, is the universal language That, my friends, is our purpose. It's my prayer that in the weeks and months to come, First Baptist will rally around that purpose, that we'll pray for it, that we'll study it, that we'll prepare our lives to communicate to our friends and neighbors, some of which might well be foreigners speaking a different language. Some might simply be strangers who don't understand the language of the church, who don't understand what it means that Jesus died for them. It's foreign to them, and it needs an interpreter. And guess who God has sent to them? You. You're their interpreter. You're their pastor. You don't have to bring them to me, because through the power of the Holy Spirit, God has given you access to the words. And with the when the church claims that authority, shows that love and grace, and communicates through the power of the Holy Spirit in prayer, then the world can well be transformed. Let's pray. Loving God, you've sent your Spirit to us, and the church so frequently has remained asleep. We've not embraced it. We've not called upon you. We've not done the work necessary. Loving God, today we ask you, change us. Send your Spirit. Send your Spirit so that we might have the words. Send your Spirit so that we might have the vision. Send your Spirit so that we might be able to communicate your purpose to the world, so that we might be able to communicate your grace and your love to our neighbors and to our friends. Send your Spirit so that the church might be one, so that the church might be loving and filled with grace, so that the church might be gifted, so that the church might bear fruit, so that the church might show your love and shine your light into a darkened world. Send your Spirit, Lord. Send the Holy Spirit so that we might be ambassadors for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we pray it in the name of the unified triune God, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And the people of God said, amen. Amen. Let's sing our concluding hymn.